Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman, your cooling specialist with all the leading brands and products to help you beat the heat this summer.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Campbell Brown. Brownie, I'm up at Bathurst, you're down in Melbourne. Obviously, the main talking point around Australian sport this morning is the incident with Chas Mostert, a huge crash up at the top of the mountain. You've had a look at the video. What were your initial thoughts?
Oh, it's frightening, isn't it? And the back page of the Herald Sun here today, right in front of me, is quite a graphic photo of that incident. And it's very, very bad. How is it up there?
Yeah, it wasn't a good scene yesterday. We'll get to the accident in a moment, but let's have a listen to how it unfolded on Network 10 yesterday afternoon with Chas Mostert doing 170 kilometres an hour at the top of the mountain.
Oh, big, big moment, a massive moment for one of the Pepsi Max cars. Into the wall, out of business for Chas Mostert, the reigning champion, has had a monumental crash. This will be a red flag. Mostert has had a terrible accident at the top of the hill. A shocking accident that's ridden this car off.
Yeah, it was a horrific scene, and there's that just horrible time down in the pit lane when everyone's looking around. Is he okay, Dog? I was up here in 2006 when a young gentleman who was a young father by the name of Mark Porter was involved in a massive accident at the top of the mountain. And unfortunately, and it is part of motorsport, it's not a part we like, but he lost his life. So there's that horrible feeling in the pit lane, is Chas okay? Immediately we started talking to the drivers, and the man who's leading the championship, Mark Winterbottom, I went down in his garage, Dog, and it was almost shock down there. This is a little bit of that interview.
You've got to get back in the car tomorrow. You've got your family here. I know it's what you do, but you'll have to, well, all you boys in the pit lane will really have to reset before you go back out there. Give your loved ones a cuddle and head back out and do your job tomorrow at some stage.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, if they say, yep, you know, you had to go now, you obviously put the helmet on and eliminate the issues and stuff. But, yeah, I just want to go home, to be honest. I don't really feel like going out right now. Not because I'm scared, but just mentally probably don't feel like it, you know. So, yeah, we'll hopefully go again tomorrow, and as part of the sport. But you know, I'll have a good crack at pole tomorrow because you know, you can't let this worry. I'll be hanging off fences and stuff, trying to do a good time. But it's bad seeing that sort of stuff because one, you know, hits the wrong way, you can be even more severe that the damage. And yeah, it's one of your best mates, so you don't want to see it. So good to go on.
Mate, thanks for having a chat with us. Best of luck to you tomorrow. Stay safe and give our best to Chas as well.
Yeah, we'll do. Cheers, mate.
You can see there, Dog, that you know, these guys have got to get back in the car this morning. The amazing thing about Chas is he was being carried into the medical centre. He said to his team, listen, I'm so sorry. Please apologise for what I've done to the car. And then he said, go and tell Frosty to put it on pole tomorrow. But, you know, you're known as a tough man. I'm not saying that lightly, Brownie. You're out on the footy field. But these boys have got to get back in a car this morning now. It's been raining in Bathurst overnight. It's in the back of everyone's minds. It's going to be a tough day.
It's a different form of courage, isn't it, Howie? And, you know, they're going to have to back up today. Every time they go out there, they know that one simple mistake could end in such tragic circumstances. So what's the mood like there this morning?
Well, it's really flat because everyone's sort of just back on their knees, back on their feet, back on their heels, so to speak. All the crowd, obviously, they didn't see qualifying yesterday, so they've restructured that. It'll be a shorter qualifying session, but you'll see as much motor racing as you normally would. But also there was, you've seen on the video, the five marshals literally leaping off the side of the mountain. Now, four of those guys were checked out and were okay. One was in hospital for observation. He got hit by a little bit of debris, so all our thoughts were with them as well. But then you have to move on, Brownie. It's so hard. These boys are going to have to move on. But this morning, as you know, Frosty's leading the championship. Now Chas, his main contender, well, yeah, he's going to be out for the rest of the season. He's got a fractured femur. He's got a fractured wrist. So in some ways, Frosty's championship has been boosted that far. But speaking about it yesterday, he said, man, I can't even think about the championship. I've got to get back in that car tomorrow. His wife's in the pit lane there giving him a hug. So it's going to be a tough morning, Brownie. But hopefully everything's okay. There's a bit of rain around. It is meant to clear. So we should be okay. And later on the show, we'll speak to some of the V8 drivers, including Garth Tander. Brownie, you're back in the studio. I'm up here at Mount Panorama. The sun is shining. A massive day ahead. And just across the road in the pit lane, he's a three-time winner of this event. And I must say, a very good friend of this show. He comes on and gives us his wide words. Very often he joins us now on the line, Garth Tander. G'day, GT.
Morning, Howie. Morning, Campbell.
G'day, mate.
How are you this morning? In all seriousness, we saw a massive incident with Chas Mostert at the top of the mountain yesterday. I spent some time in the pit lane afterwards and there was a real feeling of shock, Garth. As a driver, I know you've got to put it behind you. I know you've got to be back in the car and ready to go, but it's a very difficult situation for everyone involved in the V8 fraternity.
Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously a huge shunt and, you know, I mean, Chas is pretty banged up, got some broken bones, but thankfully he'll be all right in the long term. But, Yeah, I think probably what it was in a part of the circuit that you don't really give a lot of thought to. You know, where he clipped the wall, it's sort of a nothing corner, and just a small misjudgment, you know, ended up with huge consequences. So you just, it's probably the shock more than anything else, because at that part of the track, you don't think you're going that fast, but in reality, it's 180 kilometres an hour, and he hit a concrete wall pretty hard, and obviously we saw the injuries he had and the severity of the accident. So as a driver, you just, you know, you've got to try and put that behind you and not think about it too much. I didn't watch any of the replays. I saw one replay and then I stopped watching them. So, you know, I would get in touch with Chaz next week after the weekend's over and done with and see how he's traveling.
Garth, you're a three-time winner of this race. This is your grand final. It must be a pretty special place to go to every year and race again.
Yeah, it is, mate. It's the one race that we have that everyone pays attention to. You know, it is like the AFL Grand Final. It's like the Melbourne Cup. You know, it's like the Boxing Day Test. Everyone has a bit of a passing interest in Bathurst. So for us, it's a big deal. It's obviously the circuit itself is fantastic. The history about the race is massive. And, you know, being part of that history is a real honour. So, you know, this race is the one that everyone wants to win. You know, we race all year for a championship, but if you can win Bathurst, that's pretty special.
Garth, you partnered alongside Warren Luffage. You've done a few times in the past. How's the weekend been for you guys so far? You've got the qualifying today now after what happened yesterday, and then so important, the top 10 shootout, which hopefully you'll be involved in later on in the day.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Your car's going well. Luffy's doing a great job. He's been, you know, pretty fast in all the co-driver practice sessions. So, you know, with the change of schedule now, we've got another practice session this morning and then qualifying around lunchtime. So Luffy's actually not even going to drive the car again today. He's really comfortable with where we're at and how he's travelling. So, you know, to have your co-driver in that sort of mindset, you know, the day before the biggest race of the year is really encouraging. You know, he's really comfortable. And, you know, from a main driver point of view, you can't ask for more than that, knowing full well that the guy that you're going to share the car with is really pumped and ready to go.
A lot of rain overnight. It was, let's be honest, I'm staying at the Bathurst Motor Inn, which should
like Garth, joint, isn't it?
Well, mate, they should charge $15 a night. They charge nearly $500 a night during Bathurst, and their big claim to fame is we're Australia's first motor inn, built in 1953. They have not changed a thing, Brownie, since 1953. The water was leaking through my roof last night. A bit of changeable weather maybe later on today as well, Garth. No doubt you're somewhere nice as well, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I must be in the sister hotel. the weather's been a talking point all week, that we knew that there was going to be a bit of rain about, in the, you know, over the course of the weekend. So that rain last night was probably a bit more than that was forecast, and now they're saying around lunchtime or midday, which is exactly when we roll out for qualifying. So, and then again this evening, which is around shootout time, and then now they're saying also 90% chance of 3 to 5 millimetres tomorrow. So at some stage, we'll be on the track when it's raining over the next couple of days. So that makes it tricky, because we're going into the, you know, the business sessions, you know, qualifying, top 10 shootout when it counts, and then obviously the race. And we haven't done really any practice in the wet up here for the last couple of years. And since the track's been resurfaced, no one's run on the new surface in the rain. So there's a few unknowns when it comes to the rain up here at the moment. So the only thing we can't influence is the weather, so we just have to deal with it when it lobs.
Whose idea, Garth, was it with the Star Wars themed car, Darth Tander?
It looks fantastic.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. It's a Holden deal. They have an association with Star Wars and Disney for the promotion of the new Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens, and they came up with the idea of painting one car in the dark side and one car in the colour of the goodies, or the resistance, the light side. So I was pretty keen to be the dark side, to be honest with you. So, and I think it sort of fitted, you know, with the whole Darth Tander or Garth Vader or whatever you want to go with. So, it looks fantastic. And I've got to say, mate, the merchandise sales up here and the interest behind the Star Wars thing it's been phenomenal. I've never seen anything like it. We sold out of pretty much everything by Friday morning. And, you know, it's every kid's dream, really, isn't it? You're driving it down Panorama Bathurst, you're driving for the Holden Racing Team, and you've got Star Wars all over your race car. It's pretty cool.
Now, Garth, as we let you go, Brownie, you're a man's man. You're a tough man. Where do you sit on athletes, male athletes, shaving their legs?
Oh, if it's for a specific purpose, I don't mind it.
Would you think, as a car racing driver, there'd be a specific reason to do that?
He might need to strap his ankles or knees.
Garth, I saw you in the pit lane yesterday.
Don't take anything from me.
Well, you're in your shorts yesterday, and, you know, I thought it was Miranda Kerr prancing around there in the pit lane at one point.
Hey, mate, even my legs look big compared to yours.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, Garth, we really appreciate your time. You got so many fans here. Personally, I'd love to see you win a fourth Bathurst. Have a wonderful and safe weekend from here on in.
Cheers, boys. Thanks.
Good luck.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Campbell Brown. Brownie, a great treat to have our next guest on because once again, it's been a wonderful week for him. 197 games with the Western Bulldogs, 54 with the Hawthorn Football Club, retiring on 251 games with the Norm Smith and three premierships. And he joins us on the line now, Brian Lake. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful to have you on. The wheels fully turn. From what I can gather, you're at your children's basketball as a retired AFL footballer this morning.
Yes, I know. There's the football's gone, but the fathering hasn't. So up early, 7 o'clock, wake up for an 8 o'clock start basketball game. So we're up 8-2, so we'll start the season off well.
Lakey, did you ever in your wildest dreams when you were leaving the Doggies and making a decision to come to Hawthorn to win a premiership, think that after 3 years, you would have won three and a Norm Smith? It's just unbelievable.
No, yeah, I feel confident with the list we had, and that's obviously why I changed teams, was to win a premiership. But I didn't say I want to win premierships. So the three is just, it's phenomenal. The last two's obviously been a lot more enjoyable. You can sort of enjoy it in the last quarter. But the first one, I guess, the 2013, just that relief you have after 11 or 12 years of football to finally win a premiership, very surreal feeling.
Take us back to grand final day, Brian, and obviously I keep a pretty close eye on the Hawks. you'd had a good season, a solid season coming into it, but came September, just the contested marks were there again. You're unbelievable. The smother. It was a great day not only for the footy club, but you put in yet another wonderful performance. Three grand finals, three great games.
I guess everyone likes to play well in the big games, and in finals and in grand finals, the game's probably a little bit more predictable, and that's what you want to do as a defender, is try to make the game as predictable as you can, so you can get into the right positions. And I guess that's how I base my game on, is that intercept possession. If it's either a gather or an intercept mark, I guess that's what I pride myself on.
Do you think that your personality allows you to play really well in big games, because you're fairly laid back and laconic? I couldn't imagine you getting too nervous a night before a game, so you haven't played it in your head like a lot of people, and you can just go out there and perform?
Yeah, I'm probably not I haven't got OCDs or anything like that. I've got to have the left shoe on before the right, and I remember Scott West would never go out in the ground before the game, because that was one of his little things that he would do. So, yeah, I'm pretty relaxed. I like to have a routine of just getting certain things done before the meeting, just to give yourself a little bit more time. But yeah, I like to have a little joke around, and as I feel with the grand finals, it actually doesn't feel like a grand final. That you have the national anthem in the finals anyway, and the prelim crowd playing over in Perth twice, the crowd was phenomenal and how loud it was. So you get the grand final day, it just feels like another game.
Brian, without giving away state secrets, I think you made it reasonably obvious that you'd love to play on next year with the Hawthorn Footy Club, as every footballer does, and that's your profession, and why wouldn't you? Can you take us into a little bit about the conversation between you and the Hawthorn Footy Club come the end of the season?
I sort of had a rough idea mid-year when they said, we'll wait to the end of the year. That's the famous words, isn't it? That's what every player says when they're out of contract as well. We'll do this at the end of the year. So you sort of know they're going to leave. So I had an inkling and just went into the meeting with Clarko, Graham Wright, Andrew Russell, the head of fitness, and Chris Fagan. And he just put it plain and simple that they were going to finish me up. It was just time to sort of regenerate the list a little bit. We've got some young guys, Kurt Heatherly, that's coming from the rookie list up to the senior list, that need to play games. And I guess that's a battle at the moment for the side, is that we've played a lot of older guys and won premierships, but now some of these younger guys want to leave to get opportunities. So they deserve it, and we've got to push them up into the senior side as soon as possible to keep the list and squad together.
Lakey, take us into the celebrations this week. Who's been best performed? Benny Stratton usually is the man leading the charge. Yeah. There was a few interesting costumes at Ruffy's on the Sunday. So it's all been happening, mate. Have you been front and square?
Well, I've been okay. Later on in the week, I do fatigue. I'm not an endurance athlete. I'm a power athlete. So I go hard early, and then I finish up. But yeah, guys like Ben Stratton, he's just phenomenal. He's just a fitness freak and he just keeps going and going. You know what Sam Mitchell's like, you never see him.
Yeah, he's one drink and he's drunk and he leaves. Yeah, he goes to sleep.
He throws him over his shoulder. But he's there in spirit. But the guys have been good and we've been lucky enough, obviously, to celebrate for a couple of years like this. Everyone knows what the process is and they're pretty drink fit.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Campbell Brown. We've been speaking to three-time Premiership player and Norm Smith medalist Brian Lake. We were just discussing the celebrations, Lakey. Any truth to the rumour one of the very senior players at the footy club in the week may have ended up with a spray tan without realising it?
There might have actually been a couple of older senior guys that have had spray tans in your mate Graham Birchall and Lukey Hodge. They went to Brent Guerra's house and I don't know the whole story. I don't think anyone's going to find out the whole story, but both of them come back with spray tans.
I think the story was they're playing chip and putt out in the backyard and there was a cup there and they said if Guerra could chip it into the cup, they'll get a spray tan and you wouldn't believe it. He's put it straight in the cup and in they went. So.
One of the great days is...
No jocks on either. It was the full spray tan.
Oh, no.
One of Justin Bieber-like. That's Bieber. Have you seen Bieber's photos floating around the internet?
No, I haven't seen that yet. I'll have to look after this basketball game.
I don't think you need to. Brian, one of the great days is always the family day on the Sunday. You presented in front of 20,000 Hawthorn supporters who are getting used to it. What's the highlight for you post-grand final?
Oh, she's giving you a big sloppy kiss, I reckon, on stage.
Yeah, you were kissing me and I can still smell the beer on the breath as a result of it.
I reckon I've seen photos where I think your lips are touching mine.
Oh, no.
My cheek. Not my lips, but my cheek.
Not the highlight of my life.
that's a highlight as well. You get to see all these guys and even when we get out of the bus and down the street, everyone's got their brown and gold on and chanting the Hawthorn song and just celebrating the win. It's quite a great experience to be involved in, and just amazing how many people get down to Glen Ferry and buy up all the merchandise, and most of it's sold out, so I've got to grab some at some stage. But it's just great for the club that you get success like this, and it just helps the bottom dollar as well. The club's in a really strong position.
What's next in the life of Brian? You've obviously had most of the year to think about it. Has your phone rung for opposition, or not opposition clubs, but country clubs? Are you going to play a few of those one-off games?
Media.
Many of the guys do. Coaching, media. You're going to spend some time with the family. You're going to travel.
Hollywood.
I'm heading off to Bali on the 26th. So I'll be over there for most of the spring carnival, which is a good time. We go to the Shangu Club on Melbourne Cup Day. They have a function and John Stevens playing, so I'll be there for about 3 weeks.
Oh, beautiful.
And hopefully in that stage, my manager, Marty Fast, from ICC, has sorted out some work for me. So I'm just going to be very low-key until probably Christmas, just to enjoy the break, enjoy some time with the family. I'm doing up a caravan and a sided caravan down at Ocean Grove, so that's going to probably take up my spare time just to fix that up.
Oh, I'm just across the river there in Barwon Heads, Brian. You need to come down and say good day and bring all those medals of yours to show the good folk of Barwon Heads.
That's it. You've got my mobile. Can just give us a little call. And I want to get into media at some stage as well. If that's a little bit of radio and a little bit of TV as well. That I think I'm reasonably good at it, and I think I will enjoy that, especially with you guys. I think it looks like a pretty good job, I would have thought.
There's always a spot for you here on the Dead Set Legends.
Absolutely.
You just turn up and away you go, Brian. We really appreciate your time again. Congratulations on a wonderful career, not just at the Hawks, but where you started at the Western Bulldogs. You've got just as many fans there. Good luck at the basketball, and we hope to speak to you soon.
No worries. They're coming back a little bit, so I've got to get back out.
I'll tell you what, Howie, if there's a market open for Caroline Springs to win next year's premiership, I'm on it, because Big Brian has expressed his interest in playing down there.
Yeah, they're pretty heavy on him, Mark Rark and the boys down there. I think they want to get him down there. Brian Lake, superstar, with Campbell Brown on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. This man, he's had an interesting weekend so far at Bathurst. Davey Reynolds joins us. Hello, Davey.
Hey, boys. How you going? Good morning.
Wonderful to see you. We've already spoke to Garth Tanner about what it's like this morning, waking up after the incident with Chaz Mostert. Obviously, he's one of your good mates. Talk us through the incident and how you'll approach today.
So yeah, obviously, if you saw yesterday, Chaz had a almighty crash, like almost sickening. Like I felt sick after watching the accident yesterday and see his leg break and everything. So yeah, it's, you know, to be fair, he said he's had a bit of glare through the car because it's, you know, in the afternoon, sort of 4 o'clock-ish, and yeah, he's clipped the left-hand wall, which has fired him at, you know, 160 k's into the right-hand wall, and he's pinballed down the road and, yeah, hurt himself pretty bad. So, yeah, it's a horrible feeling. And, you know, we've got to go out and qualify and try and maximise the car, but, you know, you've got to put that behind you. Otherwise,
how do you put that behind you? Because it's all over the news. We're obviously talking about it with you now. It's all anyone's talking about in the pit lane. Yeah. You've got to put the helmet on and somehow get rid of it.
Well, you know, luckily with racing, we sort of know our risks. We know when we go out, you know, we are in almost endangering ourselves, but that's our skill, is to sort of put that all behind us and just get the most out of the car, but in a safe way. You know, it's the 1% accidents that actually do go a little bit wrong where someone does get hurt. So 99% of the time, we're fine.
Now, Dave, it's been a big week for you. You're a little bit lighter in the hip pocket. The biggest fine that has ever been delivered by the V8 history. So as a man that's been fined plenty of times before, I know what you're going through. Is any of it suspended, or is it straight out of the salary?
It's unsuspended and paid in full. So, you know, it sucks big time. But it is a tax deduction because it's a price of doing business, apparently.
See, this is what we like about Davey. He's always got a positive. Dave,
if I pay on credit card, I get frequent flyers.
Yes,
there you go.
Exactly
there you
right.
Go.
I get a business upgrade.
Brilliant.
No, I like the positive approach you're taking to things.
Absolutely.
You've come close to winning this race before. What would it mean for you to get on that top step? You've been very close here, Dave.
Mate, I need it to pay the fine, basically. I've crucified myself, and then I'm going to resurrect myself 3 days later. That's a religious quote.
Yeah, no, I got that one. I got that one. Can you win this weekend?
Absolutely. You know, me and Dino. Dino, I've got one of the best co-drivers in pit lane. He is so good, so fast, and he's very consistent, and he's just unbelievable driver. And I'm very surprised he hasn't got a full-time drive. So, you know, I'm very blessed to have him by my side. But, you know, we've got to qualify well today, but it's not all about qualifying. It's a 6.5-hour race, and as long as you've got good strategy and a fast enough car, you know, you're in with a chance of winning.
How tough does it get in the car? You'll be the lead driver, so you'll do, I don't know,
100 laps?
100 laps here. And it's going to be warm tomorrow, but then also a possibility of rain. So physically and mentally, you've got to be on your game. You're one of the fittest boys in the pit lane.
Yeah, I pride myself on my fitness, but, you know, it's just the heat we have to deal with. So it's 25 degrees above ambient temperature. So if it's 30 degrees outside, it's 55, 60 in the car. And that's what we really, really struggle with, because, you know, the heat really zaps your concentration. But, you know, that's our job to train for this. And, you know, it's just part of the job. But, you know, I'll do one stint, which is probably about an hour, and I'll get out and have an hour rest. And then you try and cycle the drivers that way. But at the end, I'll probably do a double or a triple stint, which is, you know, 2 to 3 hours.
Frosty's a very classy character, and we spoke to him on Network 10 yesterday, and in no way, shape or form after what happened at Chaz was he wanting to talk about the championship. But the incident that now has happened with Chaz, and it is part of racing now, the championship is wide open for Mark, isn't it?
Well, yeah, he's in the prime position. He's if you take Chaz out of the equation, I'm the next
you
best.
Are.
I'm third in the championship, and I'm 360 points behind, which is, you know, one round is 300 points, so he's a full round and a bit in front of me. So
anything can happen, though.
Anything can happen, but he's in the box seat to take it home.
Dave, we really appreciate your time. Great to see you with a smile on your face. Still have a safe time up on top of the mountain. Have a quick time as well.
Thanks, boys. Thanks
Good luck, Dave.
Me.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Campbell Brown. Brownie, I was made aware of a story this week that is my favourite footy story of the year. More than the Hawks winning the flag, more than Cyril winning the Norm Smith. That's how good a story it was. I'll give you a little bit of background. An under-12 side in Melbourne have got a young man who suffers from cerebral palsy playing in that side. His name is Alex Kostarakis. Now, Alex had a couple of issues during the year, and he needed his legs to be freed up a touch, so he had to have a little bit of an incision done on his Achilles. Now, we're going to get the coach on the line by the name of Trevor Veering. He joins us now. G'day, Trev.
Good morning, Howie. How are you, mate?
Wonderful to speak to you, as I said. We'll get to this story in a moment. It is, without a doubt, my favourite footy story of the year. But can you explain, firstly, what happened with Alex with his Achilles, with the operation, and then what happened after that?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for your interest, too. Look, he suffered a lot of tightness with it, and he was having ongoing injections to try and remedy that tightness, but came to a point where it needed needed an operation. So that took place around about just after round five this year. And so he, obviously we thought he was gone for the year. As you probably know, that changed a bit later on in the year.
So, Trev, what actually happened grand final week leading into that big game for the year?
Well, about 2 or 3 weeks out from grand final, I got a message from his uncle Theo and to say that, look, it doesn't like he's going to come up and, he was really sorry and wanted to be out there with the boys. And I thought, well, that's it. I'll take it as that. But he actually came good, and then I got another message just the week of grand final, and he came down to training on the Thursday night, and I said, tongue in cheek, I said, right, we'll have to put you through a fitness test, and we had a bit of a kick to kick, and he had to jog around, and he was wearing a splint, of course, to protect his leg. But the fact that he could kick the footy, I said to him, right, mate, you're fit enough to play, and you'll be in the team for the weekend.
So you named him in the team. This is a young man that loves his footy so much, from what I could gather, Trev, that he actually couldn't come down and watch his mates play during the year because he was just so devastated he wasn't out there and he wasn't going to get to play. So you've named him. So what's happened on grand final day? He obviously was nowhere near fit enough to play, but I think something pretty special occurred.
Yeah, mate, absolutely something special. To the credit of all the other boys in the team who played just brilliant football for 2 weeks, we got through the preliminary by 50-odd points. And made it to the grand final, and at three-quarter time, grand final day, we were up by 36 points, nowhere near where I expected to be. But to the boys' credit, they put us in a fantastic position, and it was an absolute no-brainer for me to put Alex on for the last quarter, thinking earlier that I might only be able to put him on for a couple of minutes at best. But it was an easy decision, Howie. To put the boy on, that he's just loves his football so much, and it was very easy to pop him in the goal square and try and get the boys to feed him a kick or two.
And Trev, you actually had some of the young players offering to rotate off the ground so Alice could remain on for the whole quarter, and they tried to get him a goal. He nearly got a goal as well. That's just fantastic sportsmanship.
It was, Campbell. We had six on the bench, and which is the great thing about junior football finals is you've got an unlimited bench, and so. I said to the boys midweek that, if I asked someone to come off, I just expect you to do so. And they were all right behind me. They were all fantastic about that. And so we stood on the sidelines arm in arm with about 30 seconds to go in the grand final. The boys tried to get Alex a mark and kick in the goal square, but unfortunately, the fairy tale just didn't quite come off.
Trev, tell me about the look on the young man's face when he ran out in grand final day and he had the jumper on. He was out there with his mate, something he didn't think would happen. Just thinking about it now, I can't stop smiling about it, which is why we got you on. Tell me about him when the young fella ran out there and he got involved.
Oh, Howie, that's why I coach football, mate, to see the look in these boys' eyes. The ones that are a bit challenged, and I've coached a few that are a bit challenged, that, just the pleasure in their eyes and the fun, the sheer enjoyment of it all. Alex was just overcome almost, and we're almost all in tears, a lot of us. But it was just a wonderful experience. It was just a joy for me to put him on the ground and just to see him get to the point where he could actually go on the ground, not just in a game, but in the grand final. It was just something special.
Trev, congratulations to you, the Cheltenham Panthers, and to Alex themselves on a wonderful season and, more importantly, a wonderful moment for a young bloke playing footy.
Thanks very much for your interest, guys. Really appreciate it.
As I said, Brownie, we see so much professional footy, and you've played it at the top level. But you must remember when you used to run around on a Saturday morning, and you just looked out there and thought, "I hope the weather's okay. I hope we get a game this week." It's a ripping
Absolutely.
Story.
Absolutely, that's what footy's all about, Howie, and getting everyone involved in it. And even some of the young girls are playing the sport today. It's just magnificent.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Campbell Brown. Brownie, I'm up at the mountain with one type of horsepower, but you are all about the Spring Carnival. Caulfield Guineas Day today. Get all the information at springracingcarnival.com.au. And you said to me you want to get a jockey on this week, and you said you don't want the Olivers, you don't want the Bosses. You want a young star that we're going to stick with throughout the spring.
That's correct.
And this man is a 21-year-old by the name of Patrick Maloney. He's one of Australia's hottest young stars in the saddle. He joins us now, probably on the way back from track work, on the way to the Caulfield Guineas Day. How are you, Paddy?
Yeah, good, thanks, guys. Obviously just finished track work this morning and go back home and have a little bit of brekkie and rest up for the big day.
Oh, he's ready to go, dog, our man.
Well, and so he should be because he's got nearly a full book. You got five rides today, Paddy. You've got some favourites. You've got some outsiders. You've got a couple of group run rides. This must be the time of the year that you just love putting in all that hard work.
Yeah, certainly, especially being an apprentice and being one of the only apprentices riding on the day. Every young aspiring jockey loves to be riding at the big Group 1 meetings and to land myself with five rides. I think I end up with four now because my last ride gets scratched, but get to ride in two Group 1 races and couldn't be more happy with the mounts that I'm on today.
Horse racing's in your blood with your old man. Did you always grow up wanting to be a jockey?
Yeah, I did. I always wanted to grow up being a jockey, but my old man always put it on the back burners because he thought I was going to get too big. And so I had to finish my schooling first because mum's a school teacher. So I went through to year 12 and went on schoolies and did all the fun things.
Oh, yes.
And then after it, I was still small enough and light enough to give it a crack and thought, why not? And everything's worked out fantastic. And actually, currently at the moment, I'm a lightweight jockey, obviously. That's why I've got a nice lightweight ride in the Turak today on a bike with me for Peter Moody. So, weight's certainly not an issue for myself.
Brownie, you're such a good identifier of talent. Within two answers, I know this is our man for the whole spring. Paddy, what do you hit the scales at?
This morning I woke up and I was 51 kilos. So I sort of walk around about 52, 51 and a half. But coming to the big Group 1 races, obviously, if I can get a chance to ride even lighter, I'll most certainly do it because I don't have to waste or anything and still do the sneaky Macca's run on the way home from the country races. So I can indulge myself.
Paddy, that's a great gift because I'm sitting at Mount Panorama now up at Bathurst and the egg and bacon barbies are fired up and it's just wafting down under my nose. So this is not a concern for you. You could hoe into something like that and go and get a ride. You're not a sort of air and water and the occasional wafer man.
Yeah, I could actually contemplate going for a Macca's run on the way home from track work this morning, but it's not ideal and it's not the right fuel for me for today. I'll go home, have a nice couple of boiled eggs and coffee and stuff like that, so that'll get me going for the day and just plenty of snacks to fuel me throughout the day, that's for sure, but yeah.
Paddy, we touched on earlier because Howie's up at Bathurst, just the dangers of some of the crashes that have happened up there. I know that you're involved in a nasty fall last year at Flemington and you broke both of your ankles. How'd you recover from that and do you constantly fear what could potentially happen, when you're riding with so many around you at such high speeds?
Yeah, obviously it's a dangerous sport. There's a lot of precautions that are put in place to nullify these dangers. But you're on an animal that's got a mind of their own, basically, and you sort of have to work in with them and hope you put your trust and care in the animal and they put their trust and care in you. But, obviously I had a nasty little fall last year around April and I fell off and I thought I'd try and be like a cat and land with my feet first and it didn't really work out that well. They sort of gave way underneath me, so I had two broken ankles spent. They thought I'd be out for 6 months and ended up being back within 2 months. So I really pushed the boundaries in my rehab and I had a fantastic surgeon in Dr. Andrew Oppie and I had a really good physio in Peter Thomas who did a fantastic job in rehabilitating me and I pushed the boundaries doing rehab, 3 to 4 sessions a day and getting plenty of rest as well to help the bones heal. So it was a real team effort and my family who supported me through that stage. And obviously it was rough at the time because I was leading the apprentice title and then I got surpassed, obviously, because I was a fair way out from the end of the season. Yeah. But we were able to make amends this season. So everything worked out fantastic and it's all credit to my support team and the people around me who helped me get back from the nasty injury.
Just as we let you go, Paddy, we're speaking to Paddy Maloney, who's off to Caulfield Guineas Day today. You'll be along the Murray Johnson train, 3-year-old filly Take Pride in the 1,000 Guineas at Caulfield. Is that where you're on today?
Yeah. Take Pride in the 1,000 Guineas. She won really well last start at Moody Valley. Sort of went straight to the front and then kept on improving, basically, and never looked back. So she was pretty strong through the line, though 1,200, and she stepped up to a mile today. So fingers crossed she can still be as powerful over the mile as what she was last start over the 1,200 at Moonee Valley.
You go and fuel yourself up, Paddy. It's been a great treat to speak to you. I think we need to keep you on
throughout the spring.
He's Triple
M family now, Howie. Get around him.
That's it, Paddy. Have a great few rides today, and we might speak to you next week about all the money you made today.
No, thanks, guys. Happy punting.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Campbell Brown. There's a story breaking that has blown up the internet, Brownie,
yep,
relating to Justin Bieber. Have a listen.
Yes, but you're going to say no. What do you mean?
That's you in the break singing some Justin Bieber. I need to hear that again. I wasn't sure what it was. This is Brownie doing his best Justin Bieber.
I'm not coming back.
Yes, but you're going to say no. What do you mean?
Now, before you tell people what's happened, Brownie, the Bieber fever was in the studio 2 weeks ago when Duck and I were doing the rush hour. Security, 30 security, they shut down our level of the building. No one could use the bathrooms. We had to come in through the fire entrance. True story, to get to work. So security was everywhere.
He played on the rooftop.
Well, what's happened to his
security? And I heard... Yes. From a reliable source that you were in the studios doing some recording with Duck.
Yes.
And you started to carry on, squeal, jump up and down, acted like one of the bloody Beliebers.
That's not true. That was
Duck. That's what I heard. Duck, you got Duck all jealous and was carrying on, wanted to meet him.
Duck loves all that gear. Now, listen, as I said, security everywhere. So he's got his life well controlled, you would think. But what was security doing this week, Brownie? Because you've come across some pictures.
He's gone on a holiday, obviously, to some remote part of the world.
Well, not that remote.
And not that remote. Justin Bieber gets papped everywhere he goes and they found him. And some paparazzis hit pay dirt because they have snapped him naked. Nude. Not anything on him except his tattoos.
Not a stitch.
Nothing.
And that's been released.
Released well, to
be
the
all
world.
All sorts of legal issues. Now, you can't just send naked photos of people.
In fact, I'll tell you what. His dad got online on Twitter and tweeted, "What do you feed that thing? Hashtag proud dad." That's a legitimate yes. Mr. Bieber did that.
That's not true.
I swear to God.
That is not true.
That is a bit creepy, if you ask me.
That's not true.
I swear it's true. And Justin, it's nude. It's for everyone to see. And he's quite well endowed.
Well, Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Campbell Brown. Garth Tander to join us after 10 o'clock, as well as retiring Hawk Brian Lake. Brownie, you're at the grand final. The Hawks, they were unbelievable once again on the day. Can they do the quad-peat?
I think they can, Howie. Oh. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. They'll probably lose Matty Suckling, you'd think. There's a lot of interest with the Western Bulldogs and Brisbane. They might lose a guy like Brendan Whitecross as well. There's a lot of interest in him. Obviously, the retirements of Lake and Hale, but they're just such a quality outfit. And some of their older guys are getting better with age. I mean, you look at the performances of Hodge and Burgoyne and, Sammy Mitchell's finals series was just outstanding.
Cyril.
This is a well-oiled unit. And your man, Cyril, well, he's not old. He's just a star. Segler will come in and replace Hale. They find players out of nowhere, and they're a very, very good side. Well coached, and I think they can do it again.
Did you agree with the decision to tell Brian Lake, you've done so much for this footy club, but it's time for you to move on?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, even as good as he was in the last couple of finals, there was more to play than whether he could go on next year. They're trying to free up some money in the salary cap to potentially poach another free agent out there. I'm a big believer in finishing on top. And, for a guy like him, his last memories that people will remember is that great spoil on the goal line and being a three-time premiership player. Why risk playing again, maybe losing form and finishing your career at Box Hill or getting a season-ending injury and finishing not the way you'd want?
Gee, he was on good form down at the family day. A few of the boys were in red-hot form down there in front of 20,000 Hawthorn supporters. Shawnee Burgoyne was just in an extraordinary style of situation. He was going well, as was the skipper, Luke Hodge, just as we finish up on the Hawks. Chris Yaron, it's funny, when I saw his name attached to a possible trade to Hawthorn, I thought, oh, yeah, Yaron, he'd be 27, 28. He's only 24 years of age, which really surprised me. Is he a good fit for the Hawks? Would he replace Suckling on a halfback line?
He absolutely would, and we know he had his issues this year at Carlton. And few things like that. But he's a very, very good footballer. And he's the sort of player coming off the half back line that can run and carry and use the footy well that Clarko absolutely loves. So, yeah, look, they're being a little bit sneaky, aren't they, the Hawks? He wasn't really on their radar until just recently. And they might try and steal him from the Tigers. But anything's possible. As we've seen with Frawley, Hale and Lake and these guys, they want to go to clubs for the chance to win premierships, and that's what Hawthorn provides, which other clubs don't.
All right, we'll get a bit more trade news from Brownie later on. After 10 o'clock, Garth Tander and Brian Lake, the retired Hawk, to join us. This is Mark Howard and Campbell Brown, who's in sharp form on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Campbell Brown. Brownie, you're about to run through as your top five sporting moments of the year. Not possibly the best performances or the biggest, but the top five moments that have stuck in your mind for the year.
Absolutely, I am. Number five I'm going to start with and work my way up to the greatest.
Okay.
The World Cup cricket final at the MCG, Australia versus New Zealand. New Zealand were up and about, playing great cricket. McCullum, their captain, he was smashing everyone all over the park.
He was.
And then in came Mitchell Starc. Thunderous applause as he's running in. He bowled an absolute peach. Almost unplayable in swinging Yorker that knocked out the middle stump of Brendan McCullum. And basically from that moment, we knew that the World Cup was ours. I thought that was a magnificent moment.
Were you at the World Cup final?
I certainly was.
Were you there with Ed Sheeran?
Yes.
Was he wearing
Ed was there with me.
Was he, oh, please, was he wearing a $750,000 timepiece on his
wrist?
Yes,
he was. And I had no idea what it was. He was handing it around. We're putting it on our wrists. And I thought, oh, yeah, it's a pretty poor-looking watch, if you ask me. And then we Googled it, and it was three-quarters of $1 million.
Just for playing a guitar and singing. I like it. So that's number five. That's McCullum knocked over.
Only
number
comes
four.
Around every 4 years, so it was a big moment. Number four, in a sport that is so hard to perfect, and 1 week you can win a tournament and then the next you can miss the cut, I thought Jordan Spieth's performance through the not only the whole year but in particular the four majors was next level. I mean, better than anything Tiger Woods ever produced, consistency, and he won two and he finished second on two occasions, and he broke records all across America.
And cleaned up $14 million prize money AUD style in the FedEx Cup by taking that out. So it's a decent year. I like it. I'm not sure Tiger would agree that it was better than any year he'd had, but you're a golf expert. So number three.
Number three. This one will stick in my mind for as long as I'm alive as a frightening moment. But it was also a great moment was when Mick Fanning at Jeffreys Bay, Johannesburg, got attacked on national television by that shark and survived it unscathed. He had a mate paddle over to help him out.
Julian
that's just
Wilson.
Australian. Ooh. That's Australian mateship right there. And the outpouring of emotion from the whole world, really. And he got back in the water not long after, and he's going along. He's absolutely flying.
Well, he is. He won yesterday in France, so he's leading the world title race. So I like that one, Brownie. That's the most extraordinary sporting moment I've ever seen on television, watching it live. But, frightening stuff for Fano, but he's up and about, and he's all right, and the shark's not. So that's
so that
news.
Was number three.
Two?
Number two, I thought this would never, ever be surpassed. I was lucky enough this year to fly over to Phoenix, Arizona, to go to my first ever Super Bowl.
Oh.
And it was a great game. It looked like the Seattle Seahawks were going to get the job done. They were home. They were at the 1 yard line against the Patriots. They had a few plays up their sleeve. They needed to get the ball literally a couple of inches, and they had one of the best running backs in the league to get it to. And it got picked off. For some reason, Russell Wilson was told he had to throw the ball. He threw it. It got picked off. Butler took the catch, and the Super Bowl is theirs. That was as good a finish to any sporting event as I've ever seen.
What's it cost to get into the Super Bowl as a punter? If I rolled up and managed to get a ticket, what would it cost me?
It was $3,500.
Wow. But, that'd want to be a good
but
finish.
But I went over there for work, tax deduction.
Oh, of course you did. I hope the ATO is listening. That was a ripping finish. So that was only number two. What have you got for your
number
one biggest, best moment?
It was number one. It was going to be number one until I was laying on the couch on Sunday, Howie, after quite a big grand final sort of weekend, and I flicked on the NRL grand final, Broncos versus the Cowboys, the Queensland, all Queensland grand final. And again, it looked like the Broncos were absolutely home. Jonathan Thurston's wasn't going to get that premiership that he so wanted and deserved at the Cowboys. All of a sudden, they kept the ball alive in the last play, and it was JT that did it, threw the ball off from a couple of fend-offs. The siren sounded, but play is not dead until it gets taken, the final tackle or gets taken over the boundary line. And they got it in the corner for a try to level the game. And then we all know what happened with JT's kick. He had the kick on his boot and he hit the post. And everyone thought it was lost, but he went down the field goal. And fairy tales happened because he was able to kick the match-winning golden point.
Yep.
And that is the greatest finish to any sporting event I have ever seen in my whole life. The drama was
ever.
I don't think it'll ever be surpassed because the Broncos had won that game. It was one tackle away from being all over, and they were almost celebrating how quickly
like
it can turn. You got to play
like
to the siren, Howie.
You do.
That's my top five.
Well, I like it. There's only one you missed out.
Cyril.
No.
What?
Your attempt to swim the English Channel.
That should be up there for heart and discipline and courage. There was a storm out there. They actually did a movie, The Perfect Storm.
The sea was angry that day, my friend.
Yeah, it was like me swimming in The Perfect Storm, that movie with Mark Wahlberg and the boys.
David Reynolds will join us next, a man that always gets the whole job done. You won't see him at 500K Mark Bathurst park the car on the side of the road and give up.
I've tried to move on from this. It's never going to go away
still
until
to come. Dead Set Legends with the man that got half the job done, Campbell Brown, Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Campbell Brown. Brownie, two of the biggest stories, if not the biggest stories in footy this week, the appointment of the new Adelaide Football Club coach Don Pike and the position of Adelaide and Geelong as far as the trade with Paddy Dangerfield goes. So we've got the man in charge of the Adelaide Football Club, their CEO, Andrew Fagan, on the line. Really appreciate him giving us some of his time on a Saturday morning. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, boys. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're very well. Congratulations on the appointment of your new senior coach, Don Pike. Tell us a little bit, for those that won't be that aware of him, what he's all about, and more importantly, why the Adelaide Football Club has decided he's the man to move forward with. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks very much. Look, it was a good day for the footy club getting the announcement made. Obviously, it's been a challenging year for all sorts of circumstances and all sorts of reasons, but you know, this, I suppose, rules a little bit of a line underneath 15, and we can look forward to 16 now. And look, in Don, we've got a guy who does have a unique set of skills. He probably hasn't followed the traditional path to the senior coaching role. He was an assistant back in Adelaide back in the, I think, 2004, 2005 when we made prelim finals. He spent some time in business. He's obviously a West Coast dual premiership player and best and fairest player over there. And he's the current midfield coach, the stoppages and structure strategy coach for West Coast. So he's had nearly three decades in footy as a player and as a coach and spent some time out in business where he's been really successful. So he's got a unique set of skills and I think the perfect fit for our footy club.
Andrew, you mentioned the fishbowl of Adelaide. I'm up at Bathurst at the moment. This is without a word of a lie. I was coming through here early this morning through the gates. A fella came up to me and he said, "Oh, mate, what's going on with Dangerfield? What's going on? Is he getting to the Cats?" So it's not just an Adelaide situation. Everyone's very interested now. Obviously, we don't expect you to give away state secrets, but those involved at both footy clubs, can you update us on the situation with Patrick?
Mate, I was heading to the airport the other day and I got asked by the lady at the dry cleaners, by the bloke at the petrol station, a guy who was on a grater on the side of the road, stopped, pulled his headphones off and yelled out to me to ask me, as did the lady at the check-in counter at the airport. So, mate, I hear it. But we're obviously in discussions with Geelong. They're progressing okay, but you know, like I'm sure you guys are aware, until a deal's done, there's no deal to be done. So, you know, we've got a pretty clear view of what we think would represent fair compensation. The compensation pick is certainly, you know, not that as far as we're concerned. So, but look, it's going okay. So, look, I'm hopeful of a positive outcome, but it's too early to make comment.
Adelaide over the last 5 or 6 years have absolutely been decimated with players, good quality players wanting to leave the club. Tippett, Bock, Phil Davis, Gunston. And now Paddy Dangerfield comes out and requests to leave. Is that a concern for you guys internally?
No, it's not. Look, I think you've got to look at the individual reasons for that. I mean, Davis and Bock went to new franchise clubs,
yep,
you know, on big dollars in an environment where, you know, we knew what was happening when those teams first started. And I think we're one of the, it might be the only team, maybe there's one other who's lost two players to those franchise clubs. So, So that's, they almost need to be put aside in isolation given the dollars that were in play. And then, look, Danger's obviously, you said, we could have offered him probably $5 million to stay and he wouldn't have stayed. It was all about some particular family circumstances that he has. And that's his reason for going. And then equally, mate, we pick up someone like Eddie Betts, who's a cult hero,
yep,
coming in. So, mate, there's swings and roundabouts in all of this. And, you know, we're a team, regardless of the ins and outs that have taken place, that that finished sixth last year. It's got a healthy list. We're looking to build upon that through this year's trade period. We know we lose a quality player in Dangerfield, but... you know, we don't ever want to be a team that loses a player through the middle of a season or a final series and therefore feels as though they can't win. It's about the effort of the team and we'll continue to recruit with that in mind.
Spot on, Andrew. It's been a tough year for your footy club and no doubt that will always be a part of your footy club, but hopefully the club can move forward and have some real success next year. We appreciate your time this morning.
Good on you guys. Thank appreciate you, it. Cheers.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Campbell Brown. It has been a massive, massive show. Andrew Fagan from the Adelaide Football Club, David Reynolds and Garth Tanner and Greg Russ talking VH, live from Mount Panorama, Brian Lake, the retired Hawk. It's just been non-stop.
You bring big names,
Paddy Maloney, the jockey. It has been Brownie and you've been very, very good. You're probably at your best with the whole Justin Bieber photo situation. I think that's when you hit your high point. But you need to take us one step higher now because this is where Duck and I normally have the joke off. They've got to be nice, family-friendly, clean jokes. I haven't passed this one off because I haven't heard it, but what have you got for me?
Look, the only one that really springs to mind is a man went to the doctors, said that there was something wrong with him, and the doctor said, well, I'm looking at you, I can't really see too much wrong. So the man drops his pants.
Oh.
And the doctor was quite taken aback, and he said, Doc, what's wrong with me? He said, well, for starters, there's a lettuce in your bottom. And I just think it's the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, no, that's as bad as it gets.
No, that's good.
You like it? That was Bill. That's Bill-like.
No, that was good. I can't compete with that. The only thing I can compete anywhere near as funny as that is you in the ad break before we were talking Justin Bieber. This is my joke. This is you.
Yes, but you're going to say no. What do you mean?
I want to hear it again.
But you're going to say no, what do you mean?
I'm tone deaf. When the music's playing, I'm a bit better with the backup vocals.
Hey, Brownie, thanks for stepping in for the duck. You've done a wonderful job. Have a great day at the Caulfield Guineas today. And I'll do my best up here at Bathurst. The coverage starts on Network 10. In fact, it's on at the moment. This is Mark Howard, Campbell Brown. Have a ripping Saturday on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M.
Yes, but you're going to say no, what do you mean?
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman, your cooling specialist, with all the leading brands and products to help you beat the heat this summer.